It's a great time of the year for us to talk about the gospel, to talk about the fact that he has risen. It's a great time of the year for us to share our faith in God with people around us. I wonder how many of us have had the opportunity to do that. This week, I know some of you have. What a wonderful opportunity at Easter time. The grace of God is upon us, is seen in a mighty way at Easter. We're not here today to prove the resurrection. We're not here today. I'm sure many of you have heard that sort of Easter sermon, but we're not going to have that sort of Easter sermon today. I'm sure you're going to hear it again, proving the resurrection. But today we're going to assume that we accept the reality that Jesus rose from the tomb. You can see on the screen what our theme is for today. Jesus' resurrection, so what? When I said this to Ross, our pastor, I said, that doesn't really sound like me. It sounds a bit abrupt. I don't think I better use it. And he said, no, that sounds all right. You better use it. Today we're going to think about Jesus rising from the dead. And what does it mean for us today? So what does the resurrection of Jesus from the dead mean for us living here in Hamilton today? What does it mean for us living here in Fairfield today? What does it mean for us at Fairfield Baptist Church today? Jesus is risen from the dead. At Easter time, we often think of two great events: the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But at this Easter time, I want to think of three great events. Two of these events have already happened, so we're here to remember the crucifixion and the resurrection. The third event has been promised to us. The third event hasn't happened yet, but the third and promised event will happen. And I'm sure it will happen. And the third event is yet to happen. And the third event is something that you and I can look forward to. And that event is obviously that Jesus is coming again. He's returning. The rapture. So I want to encourage you, when you think of Easter from now on, don't just think of the two great events, the crucifixion and the resurrection, but think also of the rapture. Jesus is coming and we will meet him in the clouds. Wow. We're going to have several significant Bible readings today. I wonder how many of you who were here on Friday had a chance to read 1 Corinthians 15. Anybody do? I see two or three hands going up, four or five. That's great. It's a wonderful chapter. If you've got nothing else to do this afternoon, you have to go home and read 1 Corinthians 15. It's not a short read. It's actually got 58 verses in the chapter. So you need to grab a coffee, sit down. But it's a wonderful chapter where Paul talks about the resurrection for the whole chapter. Not all our text is going to come up. I'm going to have some verses come up on the screen, but not all of them. But I will read a number of verses from that chapter in just a moment or two. Today our Bible readings will relate to the resurrection of Jesus and will lead us into our communion time together. So we have the table set before us, and I mention it at this stage because I want you to have it in your minds that we are going to share together in communion time in just a few moments. So keep that in the back of your mind as we read some of these verses. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Let me just read the first two or three verses. They're very important. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you. if you continue to believe the message you were told. Unless, of course, you believe something that has never been true in the first place. I passed on to you what is the most important. And what has been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. I pause there. I just love those first couple of verses, or the first four verses that we've read. The first two verses, Paul's saying, I want to remind you of the gospel. I preached it to you, you've received it, you've taken your stand, and this is what has saved you. Then he goes on, verses 3 and 4 says, and what I received I passed on to you, and it's of the first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. And so we remember this Easter time, the death and the burial of our Saviour. Three of the most important events. I don't know who gave it to me or whether I made this, put this together myself, but what's coming up on the screen now is six major events, six major parts of Jesus' life. We can talk about each one of them. Maybe we should do a preaching series sometime on each one of these. The eternal personhood of Jesus. Jesus existed in heaven before he came to earth. And we can talk about that. The miraculous birth of Jesus Christ. The sinless life of Jesus. And then the sacrificial death. We thought of that on Friday. The victorious resurrection, our emphasis for today. And his glorious return, which we're also going to think about today. And today I will read some verses from 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul tells us the importance of the resurrection, and he tells us the significance of the resurrection even for us today. So I love these basic truths, and we see them listed there in those six statements on the cross, on the wall. Jesus Christ died on the cross that we might live. He was buried in the tomb. He was raised again from the grave that we might live. He ascended into heaven and he will return for those who belong to him. And at that time there will be a resurrection for you and for I. And we can think about that this morning as well. Because Jesus has been raised, we can be sure of our resurrection. We will all be raised from the dead. The important event of Jesus' resurrection shadows for us, if you like, shadows before us the fixture of the resurrection of Christians when Jesus returns to the skies for us. And we're not here today to consider the proof of the resurrection, as I've already said. If we were, we could look at issues like the things Jesus said before his death. Jesus truly did die. It's one of the debates that's had. The empty tomb, the folded grave clothes, the witness of Mary, the disciples, the post-resurrection appearance to over 500 people, changed lives and the reality of the Christian faith. I believe this man was in America, a man called Lionel Luco. He was one of the most successful lawyers ever known. He led over 400 murder trials. And when he was asked to investigate the resurrection, he came to the conclusion, no room for doubt. He certainly rose again. I want you to listen. And the words, the references have come there. If you have your Bible, you'll be able to turn to them if you need to and follow me. I am going to read to you a few verses. The verses are not going to appear on the screen, so find them if you can in your Bible. Paul, in writing, puts together a discussion, puts together a reasoning, puts together, some people would call it an argument, about the resurrection. In fact, in six verses that I'm just going to read to you, he uses the word if nine times. Nine times in six verses. The way he builds up his discussion here is amazing. For those following in the text, I'm looking from verse 12. But I tell you this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection from the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection from the dead. And if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. And in that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone else in the world. But, verse 20, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. I love Paul's but. Moving down to verse 35, if anybody's following me in the text. Verse 35, but someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only the bare seed of wheat or whatever you're planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. Similarly, there are different kinds of flesh. One kind of humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. The sun has one kind of glory, and the moon and stars each have another kind. And even the stars differ from each other in their glory. In the same way, with the resurrection of the dead, our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness. They will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness. They'll be raised in strength. They are buried a natural body. They'll be raised a spiritual body. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. And to verse 51 near the end of the chapter. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. And it will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when the dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Wonder if you picked it up in the words that I read, how Paul has a negative statement first and then a positive. And it's two important questions that we're really looking at today. One is, what does it mean for us if the resurrection is not true? And the second one is, what does it mean for us if the resurrection is true? So if the resurrection is not true, then Jesus is dead, God is defeated, Christianity is futile, preaching is useless, Christians are false witnesses, we are still in our sins, we will never know our resurrection, the dead are lost forever, there is no hope beyond this life, and we are to be pitied more than all men. That's Paul's initial argument at the beginning of the chapter. And then in verse 20 he comes, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Therefore we can turn around everything I've just said in the negative context and we can put it positively. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, Jesus is alive. Did I hear any amens?
Amen.
Jesus really is the Son of God. Truly God and truly man. God has accepted the sacrifice of Jesus. God is victorious. Death is defeated. Christianity is for real. There is power in preaching. Christians are speaking the truth. Sins are forgiven. We can be saved. Our resurrection is guaranteed. We will have eternal life. We have great hope. Wow. We could spend the rest of the whole day on all of those truths, amazing truths. Let me just summarize as I conclude this part of our service with four statements. Four things we can definitely say. Because of the resurrection, because Jesus is alive, there's four things and they're there on the screen before you. Firstly, and I could do a sermon on each one of these. Firstly, it confirms for us that God is in control. And I believe it's important for us today. We live in a world that's a bit up and down. We live in a world with all sorts of things happening. And we don't know which news thing we should listen to next. But one thing we can say for sure is that God is in control. Yes, Jesus is alive. Jesus really is the Son of God. God has accepted Jesus' sacrifice. God is victorious, death is defeated, Christianity is for real. We know that God is in control. Secondly, the gospel is true, and I won't spend time on this because we've already read about it a little bit and spoken a wee bit about it. Preaching is powerful. Christians are speaking the truth. Our sins are forgiven. We can be saved. Our resurrection is guaranteed. We will have our spiritual bodies. The gospel is true. Thirdly, we have great hope. You have great hope. We have eternal life. We have joy. We have power. We have a home in heaven. We have a reward coming to us in heaven. We have great hope. And then point number four that we will come back to shortly. Jesus is coming again. Verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. Stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Back to my statement at the beginning. Easter time is upon us. What a wonderful time of the year. A great time to talk the gospel. A great time to talk the resurrection. A great time to talk your faith with people around you. I wonder if you could uncover the emblems for me at this moment. I just ask those who are going to be our stewards today to come and sit at the front here. Those who are going to be sharing with us in our stewards today. Thank you. We'll have a communion slide. Today we have the table before us, the bread and the cup. Today we take the bread and cup as Jesus asked us to remember him. This weekend we particularly remember in our culture, in our society, as Easter weekend. Friday we had a special service here to particularly remember the cross on which Jesus died, the cross on which Jesus paid for our sinfulness. Today, Sunday, we specifically remember the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. Today, we have two emblems, the bread and the cup, before us, as we remember both the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. Sometimes I feel we should break bread together on Easter Friday. And sometimes I feel we should break bread on Easter Sunday. And sometimes I actually feel we should do both. I'd love to know what you think. Tell me afterwards whether we should in fact have the emblems that Jesus asked us to use, both on Easter Friday when we remember the cross and on Easter Sunday when we remember the empty tomb. Let me conclude our time together today with a few thoughts around this Jesus is coming again emphasis. Remember what I had to say at the start today. At Easter time, we often think of two great events, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But this Easter time, I want us to think of three great events. And here's the third one on the screen. The crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the third event that has been promised to us, the promised event that is yet to happen, the third event, the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. Oh dear. Let me say it again. Jesus is coming again. Amen. That's better. Are we awake? I think we are, yeah. So we have these three events, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and I'm using the word rapture today. You remember the slide we had up before with the six statements? Here it comes again. The uniqueness of Jesus. His eternal person, his miraculous birth, his sinless life, and three that we're talking about today, the sacrificial death, the victorious resurrection, and now the glorious return. So there are two important questions for us to look at as we conclude today. How do we know Jesus is coming again? How do we know Jesus is coming again? And why is Jesus coming back again? Now, there are many important questions that we could ask like this today. And these are the two that we'll try to give some sort of an answer to in just a moment. Some of the other questions we could ask are questions like, when will Jesus come again? It's not one of my questions up there for today. It's a question we all ask at times, and maybe we all need to go to the Gospels and remember that we're told in the Gospels we won't know the time. We won't know the day when Jesus comes again. What will Jesus do when he comes back to earth again? Notice I'm making a distinction between Jesus meeting us in the sky and Jesus coming to earth again. What does his coming again relate to? How does his coming again relate to some of the future events? The tribulation. I've already had somebody talk to me about that this morning. The millennium. Jesus setting up his earthly kingdom. These are all relevant areas of our thinking as we think of the future days ahead of us. And I told Ross before he went away that I was going to name these events in front of you. The tribulation, the millennium, and Jesus coming to set up his earthly kingdom, etc. And I was going to tell you, if you have got any questions, you ask Ross when he comes back. Why are you laughing? I'm not here to put those questions in any perspective at the moment. But what I am here today is to say, Jesus is coming again. Amen. Now why? Let's go back to our two questions. Why? Also, how do we know Jesus is coming again? Because he said so. Okay. Because he said so. Why is Jesus coming again? To take us home. Who's the us? Believers. Christians, to take those who love him to the home he is preparing for us, and we'll be with him forever. Wow. A few verses to help us in our thinking. John 14 should come up on the screen. I love these verses. I really do. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you I'm going to prepare a place for you? And I love verse 3. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. Wow. Let me read that verse 3 to you again. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. The text goes on and says, and you know where I'm going. No, we don't know where you're going, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? This debate was going on between Jesus and the disciples, and particularly Thomas. And then comes probably one of the most amazing statements Jesus ever made, and a verse that we all know so well. Jesus told them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Wow. When everything is ready, I'll come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. Now let's look at two or three verses. This time it's the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul spoke to the Christians in the church at Thessalonica, and he had these words to say. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised. And after that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Wow. The next verse, which I didn't put up there, says, encourage one another with these words. Wow. We're told to use these words to encourage each other. And so that's what I want to do as we conclude today. I want to encourage you. Jesus is coming again. The Lord himself will come down from heaven. It's going to be a noisy event, isn't it? With a loud command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Many of you realize we've got one son and two daughters, and our first daughter, our middle one of our three, when she was just a little preschooler, Faye sat her on the kitchen bench beside this, as Faye was peeling potatoes ready for tea. We must have been talking about these events. I'm going to talk about a song in a moment. Maybe we've been singing the song that I'm going to talk to you about. And Rochelle turned around and she looked out the kitchen window and she said, Jesus can't come today. Faye obviously said to her, why do you say that? There's no clouds in the sky. And that was her little childhood thinking. Jesus can't come because there's no clouds in the sky, because we're going to meet him in the clouds. I want to read you the words of a song. I'd be interested if anybody knows the song later. The song has just got one word for a title, and it's the word changed. Anybody know a song called Changed? It's written by a man called Tom Fetke a few years ago now. Faye and I used to sing it as a duet. Our voices were a little bit better than they are today. These are the words. In only a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the trumpet, we will see him come. In only a moment, we'll behold him in the sky, and the Lord himself will quickly take us home. We shall all be changed, caught up in heaven in a cloud of glory. We shall all be changed, transformed in victory. Death, where is thy sting? God conquered death and hell. We shall all be changed. We shall all be changed. The second verse, in only a moment, Jesus Christ will call his own. With the voice of the angel and the trumpet of God, in only a moment, we'll be raised from earth to heaven, and we will live in peace forever with the Lord. We shall all be changed, caught up in heaven in the cloud of glory. We shall all be changed, transformed in victory. It's a lovely, lovely song. We used to enjoy it very much together. Jesus is risen indeed. You have a future that's far brighter than tomorrow. Anybody know who made that statement? I'm quoting a man. Some of you may have met him. Billy Graham said those words. You have a future that's brighter than tomorrow. I've got some copies of the Gift of Life booklet, if anybody would like them. I've talked about this booklet a number of times. It's a booklet that's for you to share with others, not just to give out to people, but it's for you to take and talk the gospel and share it with other people. I've got several copies here. If anyone would like one, come and talk to me later. I think many of you realize I like to finish with one word as a summary. What's one word that we could use as a summary for today? Hope, risen, no. I heard it down there. Resurrection, no. Rapture. Rapture, that's my one word to finish with today. So I said, I want you to think of Easter time now as three great events. The resurrection is the middle event. So we start with the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the rapture. Let us think of those together.